You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you at all of podcast land. Welcome to the most spacious, most righteous, and most fun podcast, The Real Short Box. And let me introduce you quickly, my co-hosts and co-conspirators. First, to my left, he is a madman from Ohio. He is Bruce Campbell's number two fan. He is one of the most desirable men in Los Angeles for some strange reason.
Say he is my name.
He's the Donald. It's Donald. How are you doing?
You're just going to say my name. I'm Donald. Over here, Showtime.
It's Showtime. We got Big Sal. We got Big Sal in the house. And we have a special guest, a man who for the first time is making his debut on an audio podcast. He is known as the man with the great hands that please many people.
What?
It is.
He does carpentry stuff.
He does carpentry. That's it. His hands please people because he does carpentry and his contract work. He is Evan. So good to see you, sir.
Five-star rating.
And he hasn't been drinking at all. Like, Kevin has not been drinking at all.
He's got his drink or smoke.
Just think about that.
But you would never thought
he... If this man had been drunk, we'd all be in trouble. This intro would have went on for a half an hour, and then he'd be like, well, I guess that's it for the show.
I always like that about fuck.
Yeah.
Craziest fillers ever.
It's not even a podcast. It's an intro.
Yeah, we've got various intros for you to choose.
You hear it. And then you always expect to come after, and it just ends. Like,
and they keep listening, thinking at some point there's going to be something new.
My God, it's like 20 minutes of intros. This is unbelievable.
Hey, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about media that got us into comics. So essentially, maybe a cartoon, maybe a video game. It got you so interested. You got you so fascinated. You want to know what was the origin of the character.
Yeah.
And you found a comic book is where it came from.
Debbie Does Dallas is what got me into comics.
Whoa, whoa, sir. That is
like
I
was like, she could... What?
Sir,
how many wieners?
Right.
Sir, gentlemen, this is a PG-13.
So then I was like, well, what if Superman, like, what if she, you know, would he like just like jam it right through her head?
Gentlemen.
And I read some Superman comics.
Gentlemen.
And that's what got me.
Gentlemen, this is a PG-13 podcast. We're not here talking about cervixes and all kinds of sick stuff like that.
You said David does Dallas. But you didn't realize Dallas was her neighbor.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Was J.R. Ewing there too?
It wasn't the state of Dallas. The city of Dallas was just his neighbor in Dallas.
That was a dirty joke.
Mm-hmm.
I got a clean joke for you though.
What's that?
We don't do jokes on this.
Well, they
podcast.
Took the bath with bubbles.
Huh?
Yeah, they took the bath with bubbles.
And what about it?
Bubbles was their neighbor.
Oh, God.
Now you realize that this is the first
and last time.
I was waiting for the punchline.
There was none. No. There was no punchline.
Don't worry, Evan. We'll still pay you for being on tonight.
Yeah, right.
Very handsome.
Wait, what do you got here? You got anything in your pocket, Kevin? That we can pay him?
I got a silver coin.
Oh, well, there you go. You're going to get lint from me and a silver coin from Kevin. This is great for you.
He's talking about a dime, by the way.
No. This is a real man coin right here.
Real man coin.
This is yes. Real man yes. Coin, baby. Real.
Now I'm a man. Put a stamp on this.
Oh,
snap.
See, I told you. It's a real coin, man. A real man coin. Yes, expected, brother. Feel the power. That's pure silver right there, my friend.
Certified Harvey Dent coin.
That's right.
For those who can't really see what we're doing, he handed him a condom. Just so you guys know.
Whoa, come on now. That is not true. First of all, I don't carry around prophylactics like that. I have no reason to. So.
It wasn't where you were actually carrying it. It came out of an orifice.
He already had it on. Let me take this off real quick.
Now, let's start with our guest.
Kevin always plans ahead. He always wears one just in case.
Right. Yeah. Of course.
In case a lady's down to pound.
Yeah, right.
You know.
No kneesing, no reason to be pounding.
How about two tickets to Pound Town?
No reason for that. No reason for that.
Anyway, so we're talking about the media.
Let's start with Evan, our guest.
Yeah.
Name something from outside media that got you interested in comics.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, the Chris Reeves Superman movie was something I saw that got me a little bit into comics.
I'm sorry, can you speak up? I can't hear you.
The Chris Reeves Superman movie.
Thank you.
The Christopher Reeves.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it Reeves or Reeve?
Reeve. Reeve. No. Reeve. Reeve. No, you're thinking of George Reeves.
Yeah.
Or Christopher Reeve.
Chris Reeves Superman movie. I mean, as in
apostrophe S. Apostrophe S. The possessive. I like that. I like that. I like that.
All right.
He didn't really mean that. He just on the fly fixed his. He didn't sound like an ass.
No, but it was good. Clean it up quick. It was a good fix.
You know, he'd laugh in heaven right now.
Yeah. He probably is.
Like, this guy just said that. Whoa.
Yeah,
I would say that's sort of what drew me into the comic book store. I saw the movie. I liked Superman a little bit at that point. And my sister would go to these dance classes. Mm. There was a comic book store next door.
Mm. Oh.
And I saw Superman in the window.
It was you with a wig. It was your sister.
I'm going to go in there.
You were just putting on a wig.
Yeah.
And going, I need to dance.
Yeah, we all did jazz dance.
Did you flash dance in there, sir?
Oh, shit. Did you pull the cord and it was... gallon of milk drop on yours.
He's a maniac. Maniac.
It was white liquid, but we won't say it.
I don't dance.
It was warm ranch.
Yeah, it was a circle. Warm ranch, yeah.
It was just learning how to do the stretches.
Fucking Julio. Warm ranch shots. No.
So I think that's what brought me into the comic shop, yeah.
That's fascinating. Okay. What about you, Big Sal? What media out there got you into
don't
comics?
Don't you goddamn say a burrito.
Wow. Now that is messed
damn,
up.
Damn.
That's messed
somebody,
up.
Somebody, you know, I thought I had a Batman burrito and now I can't use that. Thanks, Showtime. No, what really got me into it was for sure cartoons and video games.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember when I went to go and I went to go buy a Batman Returns for the Super Nintendo with my brother. There was actually a comic book store next door and I went over there and I think that was the first time I actually saw like different stories of, you know, from different different superheroes. And that's how I expanded my palette of superheroes. But my first and always will be my favorite superhero would be Batman, you know,
okay,
the strategist, AKA strategist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hey, Mr. Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. The silver tongued devil that could get any woman he wants.
Mm, 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 true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Raphael's known as a silver tongued devil. He's had his skills tested.
I can tell you what got me into comics. Let's see. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I remember going to 7-Eleven. And they used to have these Slurpee cups that would have superheroes on the cups.
Oh.
And
Slurpees were on back in the 60s? I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, they were there. They were there. But there was a Slurpee cup, and I remember that, you know, I used to watch, you know, the Spider-Man TV show, but that was just for me. I was watching TV. But I went into this 7-Eleven and got a Slurpee, and it had Spider-Man on there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you took it at the bottom, there was a coupon.
Ooh.
For like that mail away. You know, remember that mail away?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
You know, you pull, you know, the bottom come out, you pull out a little, it's like a little coin at the bottom, and it says, you too can see what up Spider-Man is up to next. Then you turn over and it would give you like a little website you can, or whatever, you can go to find a mail
websites.
Or whatever.
Well, I didn't know they had websites back then.
No, I mean like a mail order.
You scare me, man. Like,
you can send away for the mail order.
Spider-Man's site, it would be a website.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, you could have had an Apple One. You never know.
So then for me, the only comic book shop that was close to me at the time was Golden Apple.
Golden Apple.
Right. So you'd go by there and, you know, it always had the, you know, big sign, you know, the neon sign in the window, and they would have posters. And it's just, when you walk by, you would always want to go in. And that Slurpee with Spider-Man just staring at me as I dreamed of, made me want to go in there.
That's fascinating.
How long was the Golden Apple open for? If you're
still
saying
open
that.
Now. Still open.
No, I know, but like.
An hour?
No, I mean, like when did it first open?
Like, 1980s?
Something like that. Like, no, but I went when I was like 10, and it had probably been open long before that, so I'm not exactly sure.
Well, I'm going to do a fact check.
But I'll give you something like now, right? I saw the Man Thing movie on, was it Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Disney? One of the two, right? It was Disney?
It was the Disney. Werewolf by Night.
Werewolf by Night. And I saw the Man Thing, and I was really interested, which made me want to go and search out the omnibus.
More man
read things. The stories.
Yeah. Right.
See, 100%.
Scoured every bathroom.
For man things.
Looking for man things.
Did you find it?
I found it. Okay. And I read the whole omnibus. Took a very long time to read that.
I bet.
But let me tell you one thing. The guy who wrote it, phenomenal. And the writing, the story was phenomenal.
Who created Howard the Duck? Was that? What's his name?
Damn, Kevin, you should know this.
Shoot.
So that kind of got didn't get me to go back into the comic shop, but got me to read a story that I hadn't really read before. So that media of the movie got me looking for singulars was too hard to find, but got me to find the omnibus. Yeah,
Steve Gerber.
Right. Great writer, by the way.
Yeah.
And 1979 was when Golden Apple opened, sir.
So I was born in 74, just so everyone know. Just let's throw it out there. So I was 5 years old.
You were in 1964.
Damn, so in 84, you were in the Golden Apple, and a year later, I was born.
Yeah.
You were born in 1985?
That means... 85,
baby.
You're the youngest person at this table.
You could almost be your daddy.
Yeah.
Almost.
You're a young man.
He kind of treats me like he's my dad, you know, saying I steal shit.
Slap him around all the time.
You don't slap me. Relax.
Oh!
Ping slap. But I mean, you know, media in general, like, Kevin, you'll go next, but I think... There's a lot of media out there prior to, you know, comics, you know, little pamphlets that they would, you know, you would get even in school, you would get superhero stuff. They weren't like legit superheroes, but they were like, you know, stuff you would get in, you know, we didn't have Captain Planet back then, but something similar to that back then.
Absolutely. Now for me, what got me, you know, into comics really deep would have been Transformers. The Transformers cartoon I really enjoyed as a little kid. And then one day I went to the convenience store, you know, in my neighborhood, and all of a sudden, this Transformer comic books? I was just fascinated. I'm looking at the book, and I'm seeing all the different robots I haven't even seen before. And of course, not being ignorant at the time, I thought there was a connection between the cartoon and the comic. I thought it was like something that followed on, but I realized, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with the cartoon series. But still, I was fascinated. Let me read through this. And the story is a little more violent. The robots are really getting torn up apart. The dialogue was more serious, more intellectual.
Right.
And when you picked up the first Transformers comic book, I'm assuming it wasn't number one.
No, it wasn't.
Right. So you picked up an issue. Did you do like you would do nowadays and go, after I read issue 30, now I want to, because remember, I can't remember too much back then, but nowadays when a comic book series comes out, you may be lucky to go back and find maybe two issues back, maybe three issues back.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll dig through the bins, you may find a couple issues, but sometimes you can't find all the issues anymore because they were sold out and they're not, and there's no reprints of it, or there was something big in the story, so people wanted to buy it. But back then, were you still doing the same thing? Hey, I just read issue 30, but I want to know what happened prior to that.
It'd be a few years. I was like 9 years old at the time. I had no idea, how do you get back issues? Only when I got educated from one of my friend's uncles on how to, you know, do comic book collecting. Then I started going back in time and trying to find back issues and whatnot.
But how was it back then?
How was it back then? The final back issue?
When you finally got to the point where you said, I need to go find these back issues, was it readily available to you? Was it something you were like?
A little bit. You know, the comic shop that I went to, they would have some here and there, but not.
And what was the comic shop? What was the name of the shop?
Oh, Wizard Comics. It's actually what the Wizard magazine was based out of in New York. So, yep, that was my childhood comic book shop, Wizard Comics in New York.
Cool. You're from New York.
They still exist?
No, they went down a long time ago.
So your first ever shop that you ever went to was Wizard Comics?
Yes.
And what was the one shop besides that one that you had to kind of go off in the distance to get to that wouldn't be an everyday thing, but maybe like a once a month thing? Like, I'm going to go get out. Midtown?
Yeah, Midtown's been around for a long time. But, you know, I never, like, went to Midtown Comics. I probably should have, but I didn't go there. So there's, like, maybe two comic shops I actually dealt with.
You swam to Staten Island.
Donald, what was your first comic shop name?
Grackle Flint.
And what was the one comic shop where it was more like I'm stepping out, I'm going to, you know, as a kid. You know, when
you
were a kid.
You went to Pittsburgh, didn't you?
No, it was Land of Cran. Land of Cran Comics. I had some interesting names.
Land of Cran.
Yeah. Grackle Flint was the regular. And no, Land of Cran was the one in Canton, which was 45 minutes north.
The hilarious part for me was my comic shop was, for me, back then it was going to sound kind of shitty, but my comic shop was 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven, that makes sense.
Right by my house. So I'd walk over to 7-Eleven and they had the
spinner rack. Yep, that's where I found my Transformers comic.
There. and large over in Largemont, there was a magazine stand.
They still had those.
Great. And Golden Apple, because it was, you know, it was a distance, was the one shop that I would like. I would go like when I was in junior high. We were like the one shop that I had to get my mom to either let me get on the bus to go down there or go down there. And sometimes I would walk down there, which was a long walk for me, just so I could save that, you know, 60 cents or 80 cents for the bus to get me one more comic.
Yeah, that's smart. That's the shit I would
do. It sucked. The walk, the walk sucked. I figured I get a soda and a bag of chips or something, and I get an extra book if I don't pay for the bus.
Right, yeah.
Evan, what was your first comic shop?
Brave New World in Santa Clarita.
Oh.
No shit.
And what was the one shop that you ventured out today? I'm going to go take
it. It wasn't far. It was actually right down the street. There's a little shop called Cards and Comics, and they don't even sell comics anymore. They just sell coins and cards, but they're still there.
Well, I know Brave New World's still there. Hall.
Yeah. But, I would also go to Golden Apple.
Which one?
The one in Reseda.
Mostly. So, Big Sal, what was your comic book shop first?
What he just Brave said, in Santa Clarita. Yeah. That's where I moved out there in 96.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And then where would you venture out? Like when you would say, let me go somewhere out of my comfort zone.
So when I went there for like a cool like couple months, and then you know I had some family trauma going on, so I stopped going. And then when I got back into comics was actually here at We Can Be Heroes. And, you know, I remember walking in, you know, when you guys were having the signings with Chino XL, and he was releasing the second comic. And my homie Fred was like, dude, Chino's going to be here. And I came down, and I was just looking around the whole shop. And, man, it made me feel so nostalgic that it brought core memories that, you know, ever since then, I just started coming here a lot more because, you know, you guys, you know, treated me very well, and we all get along, and you guys, like, you know, we all have fun, and
you gotta pay for your books here.
Holy Jesus.
Is that true, sir?
I had to intervene.
Do you think that's true, Kevin?
I hope not.
I had to intervene because I didn't want you to cry. Right. So I had to intervene. I heard tears coming. Yeah, I had to slow them down. It's a manly show here, sir. No.
Right. Oh, wow.
I know we're talking about media that gets us in the comics, right?
Yeah.
And it's not media. It's not a media. Don't get me wrong. This is not a media at all.
No.
But the comic shop itself is what, because you walk in the door for the first time. How many shops have you walked in just as you wanted to check it out? And you say, then there's no back issue bin. There's no this. But not every shop's the same. But there's always something about the shop that keeps you wanting to go back.
The atmosphere, the vibe.
You go to Krusty Bunker, you were hoping at the time, not anymore, but you were hoping that time
you see Neil.
You get a sight of Neil Adams. I go to Arsenal because they have a really big selection of books, and they have tons. They overorder. So you know that you're never not going to get a title there.
And Spiro's Heroes, of course, you have tons of back issues.
Spiro Heroes, well, and now there's a community there. There's a community there, you know, that
yep.
You and Donald and Evan here and Julio and all you guys have all been part of that community. You know, but I've gone to some comic book shops that have probably a better selection than most.
Mm-hmm.
But when you walk in, you just don't get that come in.
Positive vibe, the energy. They just want you to come in, purchase a book, and get the heck out.
It's a retail store. You want to sell you a book. But the media I'm talking about is the window.
Mm-hmm.
You walk by a store. Yeah. How many times do you walk by someplace and you never thought about it and you see a poster in the window and say, I'm going to go in here. And you go in there and you go,
how many comic shops have you seen? Let's be realistic. How many shops have you seen where their sign, whether it be on like a pole, like the type sign out on the street or on the building where it just says comics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big thing in the air that has all what, you know, it's like a little shopping center and it shows the marquee.
Yeah.
And it just says comics.
Right.
And you go in, and you go, and maybe you don't go in all the time. But I actually was walking in a mall once. Well, actually, I was in Big Bear once, and I was walking by, and it was this poster. The poster's on the wall, so I went in there, and didn't realize there's a comic book shop. I was in Big Bear for something else, but I went in there and bought a couple books. It wasn't a great shop, but what drew me was the media on the outside of the door.
Yeah. And anytime I go any place, whether it be every other year, I used to go someplace within the U.S. on vacation. And then every other year I'd go international. I'd always look for a comic shop and I would try to pick out particular books that would create a memory for me based upon the location where I was at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk a couple minutes about when you were in Europe or in Ireland and how you saw a shop. You searched out for shops and how that was better. How it was different from here?
Well, I mean, when I went to Ireland was I was in Dublin and I didn't, based on my location, I didn't get to check out too many. But the one I did go to, of course, it's all American comics because they speak English there and stuff. And so the shops were very trade heavy. So it was stories, complete stories, and a lot of statues and action figures and stuff like that. So it wasn't for the collector, so to speak, like that was going to be able to dig or do anything like that.
The reader of the shop.
Right, yes. But for like when I went to totally different, by the way, when you're talking about vinyl. Vinyl, like Scotland, Ireland and stuff, they've got a great vinyl selection. But when I went to Germany is for collectors. They had the trades, of course, they had a nice selection of trades, but they also had a lot of back issues. Like a lot of stuff in English. And then if you asked for, which I did, I asked for a small, you know, I was like, I want to buy some books that are in German, some individual comics. And they were confused as to why I wanted to do that. And I said, well, you know, how did you learn English? And they said, through comics. And I was like, okay, there you go. So that's all, you know, then they understood completely why I wanted to get some comics in German. I wanted to be able to kind of bone up a little bit and learn a little more. So For me, those experiences are integral to the comic book community. You know, everywhere I go, mm-hmm. I try to check out the shops. I try to relate to the people there because we're all very similar in a lot of ways. We just don't speak the same language necessarily.
I'd be really interested to see what would have happened if you'd have taken a stack of books from here, there, as trade bait. Like, you know, like books that... You know, like, you know what I mean? Like
local variants, yeah. Maybe, or...
Or just some cool silver from here.
Yeah. And not that anybody asked or anything, but for my childhood, it was the Ninja Turtles that got me into it. So with that, thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate you. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you...
At the interesting and always thought-provoking Comic Book Shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.